Hello, Janet Gallen, welcoming you to Love Letters Live. Today's guest is Kay Darcy, and you're an actress, right?
Yes, I am.
By the way, I still say actress, and I know that's not proper anymore.
I don't care. I've been too many things to
worry
about.
Oh, good. And I'm so old that I still say actress. Okay. So let's go to you. Talk about you. You are from originally?
Originally, I came from England 13 years ago. Mm-hmm. I came on a trip to see my sister-in-law. But funnily enough...
Who lives in Los Angeles?
Up in Sequoia, Three Rivers, tiny little bit. I'd been several times, and I love the energy over here, the freedom. But a week before I came on holiday to her in the August, I was doing Julia Cameron's book, The Artist's Way, and she advocates that you write 3 pages every morning, foolscap pages, as soon as you get out of bed, bathroom, write. And after 3 weeks of that, I woke up one morning and it was as if someone pulled a curtain. I thought, I'm going to America for a year. I don't know what prompted it, I have no idea. But as I was going to see Adelies in August, I thought, well, while I'm there, I can find somewhere to start off from. Mm-hmm. So I had to arrive in LAX, and my son had a friend in Hollywood, and I was able to stay overnight there and then go up to Sequoia. And I just found myself drifting into this reality that this is what I was meant to be doing. This is what I was meant to be.
Now, when you say this is what I was meant to be doing, which thing exactly?
Being in America.
Uh-huh,
that this
okay.
was a place that uh-huh. I was meant to be. But at the time, I thought, well, I was doing a trip. So I went back home. And then I still felt like that. So I booked to come over in October, staying with my son's friend, when I started in Hollywood. And it's maybe a long-winded thing to tell you about, but the first week I needed a library book because I can't carry things like that.
Yes,
on the
of course.
And going along Hollywood Boulevard, because she lives near there, I said, oh, please, can you tell me where the library is? And this man said, you're British and I think you act. Go to that film school on the corner of La Brea and Hollywood. They'll give you 6 weeks free tuition. So I looked
skywards.
And I thought, okay. So I said, thank you. And he said, by the way, if you're going to the library, next door is a casting office. Take my card and tell them I sent you. I said, but... And he said, just do it. He was a very odd man. Anyhow, I went into the casting office and said to this woman, I'm sorry, you can't do this in England, but I've just been told to pop this card in and say you're to see me. And she said, no, you can't do it here, but I know him, and yes, you can. So I did an audition, which I didn't get, uh-huh. but it broke the ice, the possibilities.
My goodness.
So anyhow, I went to the film school. I walked up every night, Monday to Friday, for 6 weeks, and found that I was learning so much because I'd done mostly theatre for 10 years in England.
Well, can you back up and then talk about that? Because, okay, what was your work in England? And I know you have children and...
Well, yes. Briefly over the children part, I was married for 28 years, so my husband chose a new path. Oh. So I waited 2 years, and he was still off the path. So I divorced him, though it wasn't something I liked doing.
Sure.
And I thought, what can I do with myself? I'd been a nurse and a midwife for 40 years. And I thought, oh, that's funny. When I was at school, the nuns said, you should be acting, which is unusual for nuns. So I went down to an East End drama school. I took a scholarship and got in. And lived in an apartment with 7 assorted students from the age of 18 to 32. 32-year-old was a vet who decided he needed to act. So we were all pretty broke. And we hadn't sold our house, so I was really on a pittance because I was not quite 60 to get a pension.
Uh-huh.
So I was scraping. And I lived there on and off for 20 months.
What a brave thing to do, it seems to me.
Well, actually, you know, when push comes to shove, you don't think about it. There I was in an undignified position that my husband had gotten. All my friends in a rather upmarket village had dinner parties, but my man wasn't with me, and a spare woman is not good news. Oh. Good spare man is good news, because you can always do with a spare man. And I said, I'm not going to live my life as a has-been on the edge of something. I'm going to jump into a new arena. And I remembered the acting, so we went down to the East End of London, as I was just telling you, and lived with these assorted people and learnt a lot about life, about growing marijuana behind the sofa, about doing multicultural children's parties to get my British equity, going to Shanghai to do The Importance of Being Earnest, going to Hamburg for the same thing. And I had a wonderful time. But the last show I did was A Midsummer Night's Dream, and it was in a very, very good theatre up in Manchester in the north. But after 5 months, I was still waiting for the next job, and that's when I was reading this book that prompted me.
Can you tell us about the book?
Julia Cameron. It's called The Artist's Way. And she puts everyone in the position of emptying their mind every morning. That if you get out of bed and you don't do anything other than what you have to do, needs must, and get straight down, it's quite hard to do this, you don't even make a cup of tea, and you just let the pen go and take you, you might be saying, oh hell, my headache has come back this morning and it's really unpleasant outside today. And you keep on meandering until something more meaningful comes up and you interject that, and then a problem, and you put that down, and then you clear all the garbage, and it takes about half an hour. So you've got to be patient with yourself, and it's no good thinking, oh my God, I want to make coffee, or I've got to get to a class. You've just got to leave that.
You have to do it unfettered by anything.
Any constraints that you impose on yourself. And we don't often allow ourselves that, you know. It's a discipline, which
yes,
is hard.
It is, yeah.
And that's how I came to be here, because something cleared a block in me and I knew I needed a change. I had to get out of the energy that I was in and go into a new sphere. And the American energy I've always found so liberating, you know, especially for old people, because nobody is analyzing whether you're doing something according to your class, your stage in life. You're just allowed to be on your terms. And if it's a bit odd from their point of view, they'll just say, oh, well, it's another one who's different, especially in Hollywood. You know, you live in a conglomeration of people from all over the world who just deposit themselves there. And it takes them in all sorts of different ways, either sleeping on the street, either dressing up in pink and posing on street corners, whatever.
So what was your next step after you?
Well, I went to the film school. I did 2.5 years there, got the diploma. And a friend of mine had a wonderful Armenian nanny, and she put me onto this man who was good at getting green cards. Well, I was stupid. I gave him the money in cash that he asked for, because this was what you could do so easily, and I wasn't fair enough to know with the system here, but in 6 months I would have a green card. So $10,000 and a court case later,
oh my goodness,
I still haven't got the green card. So I got an O-1 visa. All his money was in his wife's name. I got a green card, an O-1 visa for 4 years. And then I...
What is that, an O-1 visa?
It's like an H visa. You are entitled to work doing only one thing.
Oh.
So the only thing I could do was act. I couldn't go and wait on tables. I couldn't do anything other than act, which is very restricting. And when you leave the country and you want to come back in, there's always a bit of a, you know, you can't go for too long because they waive your O-1 visa. But after 4 years, I think it was about 4 years ago, because I do a lot of Tai Chi, I haven't mentioned that, but I'm addicted to Tai Chi. And it took over my life.
Oh, really?
But in a funny way, it served me, other than spiritually, because this project came up that my manager had a guest house, and living in the guest house was a casting director who was asked for an older woman who was fit. And she asked my manager, who put me forward. I was interviewed. that was it. They didn't interview anyone else. And it's called Agent 88, and it got 105,000 on Kickstarter, and we made an episode, which is now up on YouTube, Agent 88, Episode X, and it's had nearly 200,000 views.
Wow.
So we're waiting
now
for
funding. Now, is Agent... That's a YouTube title by itself. It's its own
Agent
show.
88, yes. Episode X.
Uh-huh.
That's the latest concise one. And I was taught Kali, the sticks that they use in Philippines for martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
I was taught Zhen Wen Zhong. But it's really been such an enthralling experience because I've been allowed to liberate parts of me that never were. You know, it took them a week to get me to hit somebody.
Oh,
with a stick.
I was going to ask what parts are liberated. Yes.
And I don't know that that's a good thing, but on the other hand, it was a block through indoctrination. Never hit back. Never hit back, whatever happens. And after a week, I could, but not with malice. I could do it as a gesture,
yeah.
But the malice, I don't. And I still don't like violence. But I'm more loose and relaxed with
it. So you can simulate a part.
Yes.
Without actually having to feel the...
Yes.
So, and apparently it's convincing enough.
Well, yes, I have a face that can go into quite grotesque twists.
Hard to believe, yes.
Well, no, it can look evil.
Yeah, okay.
And because
that's what acting is. You can take on other colorations.
Yes, you're right.
And where are you now in this world of...
Well, we're waiting to see if we get funding for Agent 88. I got my green card 10 days ago.
Oh, good.
I'm going back to Europe to see my kids. It's taken 3 years for me to be able to go back to see them.
Wow.
And I'm just trying to get myself in such a position that I can do the writing that I want to do, because I write children's poetry.
Nice.
And also the odd meaningful one that's what your love letters I thought of. Because the odd thing, I get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and write down, according to what I'm writing about or who to. It's almost a love letter that's never going to get sent. Does that make sense?
Well, it
to
does,
you?
But let's talk about that.
Oh, well, no.
No, we don't have to. But
I don't mind.
It's, you know, sometimes if you can find a person to send it to, and. Well, I mean, of course, up to you, but there is something thrilling about getting a letter with a handwritten envelope in the mail, especially today's pile of junk that goes through your mail.
Well, I've got one to my son, which
he's
grown up.
Okay.
It's not a totally happy one, but on the other hand, it's not a totally happy one, but life isn't always totally happy.
And isn't that really what a love letter is? Is your truth put to paper in some compassionate form? So, you know, I do like that you have one. Thank you.
Well,
I was
going to
ask if you ever wrote to your
children. My glasses.
I have that same kind. Here, do you need to borrow a pair of readers?
Thank you.
Is that what that is?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, they're much better. Mine get rattled around my bag.
Yes. So about what you write down, I want to know just briefly about the children's poems that you write and that you grew up with.
Well, these are ones that just evolved. Because I've always done babysitting, because that's a good way to get money. And I'm looking for a children's poem that I put in for David, because
Did you grow up with books of children's poems?
Oh, yes, everything.
Me too.
Yes, everything that you can think of that was around when, because I'm 83, everything that was around when I was 4, 5, 6 before the war, after that, the books went with the war, and my great aunt didn't have books of that nature, so I had to take what was available. But that's one that I wanted for David, because everyone's got an inner child.
Yes. Well, you read.
You want me to?
Yes, if you would. Would you just tell a little of the history of that, like who it's to? And
well, this is to all my senior friends who do Tai Chi with me.
Oh, nice.
And some of them are now able to take both feet off the ground, but they couldn't always. And some are really wonderful and in 86 are doing extraordinary things. But inside them all, and their varying stages of disintegration, I suppose you could call it, there's this little child. So I wrote this poem, and I just wanted to remind them. And it's called The Child Within. when you lie on the grass with your feet in the air, when you roll down a hill and get burrs in your hair, when you climb up a tree and the branches are sails, and below there's a boat being tossed by the waves, when you hang upside down from a bar in the park, and you know your skin's fur as your voice starts to bark, when the shadowy places outside and in become dens, lairs and hideaways, then you begin to know that there's freedom in just being you. You can do all the things that they're asking you to do. For when they're all done and you're left on your own, who knows what will crawl out from under a stone? Mm-hmm. The key is a mystery and just being free. And then there's the blessing of just being me.
That's wonderful. Now, have you read this to them?
No, I copied them, but apparently when you do Tai Chi, you're not sharing egoic things.
Yes.
So I can understand why. It's not a criticism, I say that. It wasn't at the right concept text to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you see that,
yes,
and I don't
do.
Feel
That's
snubbed.
Important. Yes.
But there we go.
You said you were one to your son?
Yes, I've got one from my son and one from an aunt that committed suicide.
Oh, how lovely that you brought these.
Well, I was trying to think, what can possibly be linked in with your letters?
Well, you know, very often people come and we talk about who they would write a letter to if they were to do it right
yes.
now. And once in a while, but not often, people come with letters, and I love this.
Well, to a son. It is an accident of birth that I have spawned you, given you life, given you space to breathe, to realize your own potential. Marred as it was with scars along the way, still, it is yours. We all have rivers to cross, burdens to carry, karma to live out. So do not torture yourself with what just might have been the perfect vision of a happy family. Just be content that you are you, that life is what it is, and add from that unique perception that is yours that special element, integrity.
That's wonderful. Thank you. May I look at it? There's something about handwriting on a page that is delicious.
If you want to photocopy it, you can.
Oh, I would like that. Thank you.
And
I'm gonna put a little date on it for when you wrote that, just for my sake. Go ahead.
And I had an aunt whose fiancé was drowned. He was an Austrian. He was taken off in a ship just before World War II, and he was an Austrian count, and she never saw him again. And it haunted her all her life. And when she was in her 50s, she took an overdose.
Oh.
And I'd been closer to her than to my mother. So it was
terrible.
She has lingered with me in another way, but I never dream of her. So this is called From Suicide. And it's coming from her, not from me.
Okay.
In the morning when you wake, think of me. Where will I be? In the noonday sun, life all around. Think of me, where will I be? Then when the day is through and eventide sends down the sun, there I'll be, close to you. Just in case you should think suicide's just for freaks, think of me. When you try flying high, knowing you can reach the sky, think of me. And someday, when the fates treat you rough and you doubt the one you love, think of me and know I love you.
That's important. That is important. Thank you for reading that. Yes. Do you have another bit you want to read?
Well, my birth sign, Chinese, am I taking too much time?
No.
My birth sign is the rooster. So that's Phoenix. It goes with the Phoenix.
Okay.
So I was playing a role of an old woman that commits suicide. And this came to my mind. And it's Elsie Smith. Loosened from life, prepared for flight, yet held by fears for those I leave behind, I have no God to turn to, no inner secret strength, save what I've learnt among my fellow man. But when my spirit rises from below, and searing flesh bequeaths its epitaph, the love I have transcends all human strife and cascades down on loved ones left behind.
Thank you.
Anyhow.
So you write, do you write every day?
No, not I should do, but that's why I want to. See, at the moment I'm fighting the system to get enough points to get Medicare.
Oh.
So once I get that in place and I don't have to pay vast sums every month to get hospitalization if I need it, I can't focus.
Yes, I understand. It's have to focus. And, you know, you were talking about the getting up every morning and writing for half an hour.
Yes.
And that you can't be distracted by things.
No.
You have to give your whole empty self to it.
Well, I have to practice for half an hour for Tai Chi. Mm-hmm. I have to do meditation because that's part of my routine.
Uh-huh.
If I manage it, I've got to get down to the Y and do some stretch classes.
Oh.
And then there's auditions.
Yes.
And apart from that, there's all the dross, like doing a washing, whatever.
Sure, sure.
You know, life.
Well, I was thinking when you were talking about getting up every morning and writing unencumbered, and this writing that you do that's so beautiful, it's exactly the same as writing a good letter. You can't be waiting for the water to boil for the pasta.
No.
You can't be taken out of yourself.
No. Well, I had a good example of somebody doing that.
What?
And that was when I was freshly married. I had four children under four, 5 and 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we always lived in the country. So I was very isolated.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take all these little children in the car and go through fields to find a nice wood. It's just too much effort.
Sure.
And every Monday, this long blue Basil Drumbond envelope would come from my mother.
Oh.
And she would tell me everything that had been happening in her life. And it's strange because during the war I only saw her once a year. We didn't have a very happy relationship because she married a second time and we didn't get on, the man and I.
Mm-hmm.
But it was when she was older, when she was in her 60s and I had all these little children, she wanted to come...
Yes.
Into my life.
Yes.
And those letters, I wish I still had them.
Oh, I do too.
Oh, they were precious.
You know, you said something. You said they were blue.
Oh, yes. Basil Drumbond is a very, not the best, but nearly the best, because English are very snobby about things like that.
Oh, good for you.
And it has a, not parchment, but a better quality paper.
You know, yes, because the feel of the paper.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
You're sliding one hand over another as you're talking.
Yes.
That's an important part of the gift.
Yes, it's and a that tactile touch.
Yes, it is.
And the
blue,
which is spiritual, the deep blue.
Oh, so every time you saw that letter, even from afar, you knew what it was.
Well, being a Catholic, it had connotations to Our Lady, to Mary.
Okay.
So it was a spiritual, although... I'm only seeing it now for the first time. I don't think she even knew it because she embraced anything that was around religiously. She was not sectarian at all.
Mm-hmm. But still, those color, everything about the envelope carries a lot with it.
Yes,
it's the gift wrap for that gift that's inside.
Yes, it is.
But you know, when you're saying that, it just makes me really choke up because one of the missions of our postal department,
yes,
you know, in their seven things that they their mission, one is to be the bond of scattered families.
Oh, how wonderful. Well, I get something, you know, from the group that tried to reach out to prisoners of conscience.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name of it. I've been giving to them for years, and they send an envelope with a blank piece of paper and a candle on it. And you write a message, and they send it off
The
prisoners,
yes.
That some of them incarcerated by regimes under grills, underground. It's not...
You're not thinking of Amnesty.
Yes,
oh, Amnesty
International.
International. Yes,
yes,
yes. I didn't know they did that.
Yes,
but
they
you
do.
Know, I had written something.
Yes.
So what I always say is when they're reading it and when they're touching it,
energy has gone in.
That's right. They're touching something that has felt not just your hand, but in this case, it's felt they touch a freedom.
Oh, I have never thought of that.
So much.
But, you know, we know so little about energy. You know, the American Indians refused to let anybody take a photograph of them. And you know what they've just discovered?
No.
Healers are doing work from a photograph because the essence of the person is in the photograph. So how knowledgeable were these seemingly primitive ancient people?
Oh, well, seemingly primitive. You know, there are huge, important bodies of lost knowledge.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
There's a woman who actually, I met her because she did a love letters with me ages ago, Jill Culver, and she does soul portraits, what she calls soul portraits. I'm going to send you her information.
Oh,
you
how
might
lovely.
Enjoy seeing it.
Yes.
And she discovered, she was a corporate person all her life, and she suddenly discovered she had this exceptional talent, not only for drawing, but she would look at a photograph and then draw. She didn't meet the person. She didn't want that. She wanted just the photograph. And she would look at it, and then she would draw a portrait that captured the soul of the person. And it was amazing things. Like she would draw, just from a plain headshot, for example, of you, she would draw somebody with, you know, a white mantilla. And it turns out that the grandmother was a very important, you know, part of Catholic life in Spain, or not grandmother, but great-grandmother.
Yes, I understand.
My friend would have no way of knowing this, and she would include things. She now does them with pets.
What a wonderful gift.
Oh, I'm going to send you this. You should know about this.
What a wonderful gift.
Well, I want to thank you for doing this with me and being so generous enough to read your letters.
Well, it's
a privilege to hear them.
Thank you. You're very kind.
And I just wish you luck at every audition you go.
Thank you, Jane.
And I'm going to look for this for your
YouTube. Agent 88.
Yes, let's do that. Okay, thank you, dear. And I just want to say one more thing, that these letters that have been written long ago,
yes,
they'll last for generations. And your grandchildren will find these someday. Your great-grandchildren, maybe.
Well, I've got some more, and at some point I might put them together.
But won't that, I mean, are they in a box somewhere safe?
For David. Oh, yes, they're in my apartment in
a box. Okay, so people find those.
I've got 20 children's songs waiting to be published.
Oh, good. Will you let me know?
But they're a little bit mad, if you can imagine. There was a snake called Sonny Jim who dearly loved a glass of gin. I mean, you know, they're a bit zany.
Yes. Well, when those come, you know, let us know about that.
All right.
And then we can kind of spread the word.
Thank you so much.
Well, if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, there's always a special occasion, and writing a love letter is a special occasion. So until next time, this is Janet Gallant saying goodbye. We'll talk to you later.